Scripture passage today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. We continue in our theme for this summer of water, and we have just this week and next week for this summer theme. Today we see water as it is tied into the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles. So from John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Just a few verses, and there's so much here, looking at Jesus, looking at the Holy Spirit. The context is the Feast of Booths, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, an 8-day feast beginning on one Sabbath and ending on the next. Because their calendar was different from ours, for us, it was a set day for them, but for us, it's sometime in September, late September, early October. It celebrates God's provisions given in the harvest. So the fall harvest had come in. But they would also make booths or tabernacles, temporary dwelling places. It was to remind them of their deliverance from bondage in Egypt, and that God was the one who delivered them, and that we are just sojourners here on earth, that our home really is with God. So on the last day, the great day, everything was working towards that culmination. Now, each day, there would have been worship. So Scripture was read from the Old Testament, and there were sacrifices given. Now, over time, things began to change. God's people at the time of Jesus were very focused on the coming of the Messiah. It was their hope. The Messiah would come soon because they were in bondage once again, this time to Rome. So they were waiting for a Messiah. It's interesting to see how God's timing works and how so many things that Jesus did, it was at a very significant time, weaving itself into the history of God's salvation here on earth. So from Old Testament to New Testament, it just becomes one story just woven together. So on this last day, the great day, when people are looking to this expectation, there will be a Messiah who comes, Jesus stands up and cries out. And so he is declaring something about himself and something about the Spirit who was to be given. In this, there's some really significant things for us to understand. One is this unbreakable link between Scripture and the Holy Spirit. We see that in verse 38, where Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then that rivers of living water that's flowing out of our hearts, Jesus says, this is about the Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit. The connection here between Jesus quoting Scripture and the giving of the Spirit, there is this unbreakable connection that is between God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And there's errors that have been made by the church over the course of 2,000 years of church history, by me, the course of my lifetime, by all of us. At times, we emphasize certain things. Our tradition, the Reformed tradition, where we stand on the Word of God, the authority of the Word. At times, we emphasize the Word so strongly that the Spirit is sort of the shy member of the Trinity, is what some theologians will call the Holy Spirit, because we don't emphasize that as much. Now, I think in our era, we emphasize the Spirit more. But you go back 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, and the Reformed tradition was very, very strong on Scripture and would talk about the Spirit mostly in connection with the Trinity. So we can make an error of emphasizing Scripture so much that the Spirit and the role of the Spirit behind Scripture is minimized. Jesus never does that. He wants us to see the connection. The other error that can be made, it's almost like the pendulum swinging the other direction. And indeed, the Pentecostal movement came about because the pendulum needed to swing, and an emphasis needed to be on the Holy Spirit. And most of Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement is probably now pretty well balanced. But there are still individuals and a few who emphasize the Spirit so much that they play fast and loose with Scripture. And the Spirit is emphasized over Scripture. The same thing is found in modern progressive or liberal theology. And they'll say, because they can't argue from Scripture about different issues, they'll just simply say, the Spirit is doing a new thing. And it sounds so holy and righteous. The Spirit of God. Who can argue against the Spirit of God doing this new thing? And it's disconnected from the truth of Scripture. Jesus doesn't make that mistake because he knows that the two are unbreakable. And we see from Scripture in 2 Timothy, Paul tells us that all Scripture is inspired. The word there is God-breathed. It's the same word as Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is God-breathed. And then we find in 2 Peter, Peter says this, that we need to know, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The connection again. The Spirit is the one who inspired the Word, and he will never contradict these words. So that it can never be the Spirit is doing a new thing that contradicts the Word. But neither is it we emphasize the Word so much that we neglect the breath of the Spirit that gives life to the words. And so Jesus is bringing us this great connection. So our balance is that we believe strongly in the authority of Scripture, the truth of Scripture, and that the Spirit is the one who inspired these truths, will not contradict these, and who breathes life into the Word so that it can change us. So we approach Scripture with prayer, praying for the Holy Spirit to help us to understand God's Word, praying for the Spirit to have the Word transform us, to change us. And indeed, the Word does change us, not because it's these little scratchings on a page, but because the Spirit is at work within our hearts. So the first thing that's just important here is this unbreakable link between Scripture and the Holy Spirit. And then it says that Jesus said these things about the Spirit, whom those who believed him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What does it mean that Jesus was not yet glorified? It means that he had not yet died on the cross, taking our sins upon him, and he had not yet risen from the dead, and he had not yet then ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. When that happened, the Spirit was given in fullness. And so Jesus being glorified, though, is a part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now that he's glorified, the fullness of the gospel is there, and the fullness of God's truth is now revealed. The Spirit comes and he glorifies Jesus. How does he do this? Well, Jesus explains this a little bit later in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And he says to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said, he, the Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the role of the Holy Spirit is to take what it belongs to Jesus, which is what the Father has given to Jesus, and declare it to us. And in that, Jesus is glorified. The Spirit is glorifying Jesus by declaring the truth of Scripture. So as the Spirit works in us, that is taking place. The Spirit flows through us, indwells us, flows through us. And in that act of the Spirit indwelling and changing us, and then flowing out of us and touching other people, what is happening is the grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ is being displayed. We see this in the fruit of the Spirit, those qualities of our life that change. We see it in the gifts of the Spirit, that which God gives to us so that we can do ministry. We're not left to do it on our own, but God gives us gifts for ministry. We see it as the writers of the New Testament talk about walking by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. When that takes place, when it is evident that the Spirit is in our lives, it is visible to other people. We're not seeking to glorify ourselves. We're saying it is God at work within me. It is because of what Jesus has done for me. And Jesus is glorified. And it's the role of the Holy Spirit working within us. And that's what Jesus is declaring here in John chapter 7. So the Spirit's role is to glorify Jesus. Now, the incredible thing about this, and it really is incredible, is it's God's grace at work within us, the Spirit indwelling us. And, you know, for us, it is we receive it. Verse 39 says that Jesus was talking about the Spirit whom those who believe in him were to receive. All that God offers to us is a gift. It's grace. We receive it. We don't take it. We don't say, I earned it. It's mine. But it is a gift. We come with empty hands, just like with communion, isn't it? We come, we receive. The plate is passed that has either the bread or the cup in it. We receive it. It is not something that we simply can take. And the grace of God dwelling within us through the Spirit is this gift. It is an amazing thing to think about, this reality of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. It talks about in our heart, the seat of our affections, the very essence of who we are. The Spirit dwells within us, God's gift to us. It's an amazing thing to think about, because who is the Holy Spirit? Part of the triune God, that mystery of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, taking up residence within us to help transform and to change us. And so as the Spirit does that, it says, out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. The Spirit, the living Spirit of God flowing out through the fruit of the Spirit, through the gifts of the Spirit, but just God's grace. Last week we talked about that cup of water that you share, just that act of mercy, act of mercy. Kelsey shared about her ministry that is an act of mercy. It's how we can tangibly touch people with the gospel. When that happens, that is this river of flowing water, the Holy Spirit coming out, to glorify Jesus. And that's what it's all about. It blesses others. On the last day of the feast, the words that Jesus cried out were, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me," he's further defining that thirst. And we think about thirst, it is a physical feeling. Jesus is saying, is there a spiritual thirst? Can you acknowledge your thirst? Do you understand that there is a spiritual need for God? And here it is, the feast where people had been worshiping. And he's saying, are you thirsting for the right things? Are you thirsting for God? If you are, then come to me. And so we recognize our need for God. And then we want to recognize what satisfies that thirst. What can satisfy our deepest spiritual thirst? And Jesus says, come to me. Because only Jesus can truly satisfy. Only Jesus, who is God incarnate. Only Jesus, who is the fullest expression of God that we can understand. He says, come to him and receive that which satisfies. And it's tied in, of course, to his death on the cross, taking our sins. It's tied into the resurrection, the power of life over death, to the ascension of Jesus returning to his rightful place of glory. So Jesus says, recognize your thirst and what satisfies, and then respond with belief. The word for belief that is there is translated in different ways depending upon the context, but mostly upon the way that the grammar is in that particular sentence. It's the same word that is translated as faith or trust. It is not just believing truths about God. So when Jesus says, whoever believes in me, he's not saying, whoever believes that I am the Son of God, that's sufficient. He's saying, whoever fully trusts in me, who lays down his life and trusts that I am the Lord. And it goes together with all of Jesus' statements that he made. He is the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the bread that will satisfy. All of these things are trusting that Jesus is the one who meets our needs, and that by yielding to him in all that he says, it is life for us. And in that life, as that grace works within us, as we believe, as we trust, as we daily have faith in Jesus, out of our hearts flow rivers of living water, which is the Spirit. So our prayer today, as we wrap up with this passage, is that the Spirit would so work in our hearts individually and work within us as a church, that we're transformed by the work of the Spirit, and the work of the Spirit through his Word here in Scripture. We're so transformed that God's grace flows out of us through our words, through our actions, and people's lives are touched and changed. And the result of that is that Jesus is glorified. Let's pray. Lord, we seek to glorify you, for in your glory we find life, find hope, and there is none more glorious than you. We pray for the Spirit to touch us, to indwell us in more full ways each day. Help us to yield to you, for we know that as we do that, we receive more grace. We pray this in the name and to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.